in trouble. They're in big trouble because these people could nuke Iran, you know, for Israel. They can bring about, you know, some sort of biological, and then say, well, we told you we had the swine or the Mexican flu a few months ago, or, you know, they can break down, stop people traveling, and close the borders, and then there's no.
They were already beta testing those activities in this past couple of weeks here.
And covering the bankers. The bankers are the most important. I mean, they've broken up. If you look at Chrysler and GM, Darrell, it's all gone on with the unions, and the workers have to take less money. So for a couple of fat cats up in New York and their cronies up in Washington, D.C., very skilled auto workers, which are, you know, machine instruments and you know, very, very skilled, they're about to kill it unless the salaries, the workers actually take huge cuts in their salary, Darrell. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, not only that, they've been looking to the workers to finance their own business. And if Chrysler goes for that deal, if the workers go for that deal, it's ridiculous because, frankly, nothing they build has a market anyway. So, you know, there's nobody buying cars. There's nobody building them right now. They're laying off Renault workers here, and Peugeot workers are going, Citroën is going, Fiat, I don't know where they're getting the money from that. It must be from Rothschild to buy these assets. And you know, we've got Opel going up on the chopping block, which is a General Motors company out of Germany.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, one of the things that happened over here, and we talked about this a couple of months ago, was how they imploded Alstom and then brought it down to 40 cents a share, and then once they got the shares in their own hands, they all the contracts started flooding in, and the price of that share that they bought for 40 cents went to 140 at its high. What they're doing right now is they're mopping up businesses left, right, and center for pennies on the dollar, pennies. And when this world is you know, depopulated, rejigged, new government in control of everything, new money system, all these companies are going to reemerge in the hands of just a couple of people, and they're going to own everything. It's going to be emperor Zionist criminals running everything, and I see it taking place. And we've described this stuff almost to a letter and watched it happen. And yet, you know, the numbers we get, of course, you know, we get decent numbers here on the French Connection, and I know you do at TIU Radio, but the fact of the matter is nowhere near where we should be, Noel. I mean, come on. The story, nobody has ever been able to refute the quality of...
Darren, people should just look at this, what you quite rightly mentioned, which is this Fiat takeover of Opel. Now, Opel is a GM branch in Europe, except in the UK and Ireland. It's called... in Ireland it's now called Opel. It's called Vauxhall. Vauxhall in the UK. And my dad used to have an old Vauxhall Viva, so I know about the cars. Now, the money, we don't know where it's coming from, but we're coming from Berlusconi now, you know, just run off with an 18-year-old. His wife wants a divorce. This guy is a union breaker. Now, we have a situation in Germany where there are three big Opel plants, and I think this is, you know, worth mentioning, Darrell, which are highly unionized, and these people are like the French. These people come out, you try to screw with these people, and they'll come out and protest. Now, with this deal, from my reading or my understanding of it, Darrell, the unions before Fiat, which is basically Rothschild money, shows up and said, listen, we'll acquire you, you can keep most of your jobs, but you have to lose, you know, 5,000 jobs here and 2,000 here, and you take less money. This is Rothschild sending in one of his puppets, which is Italy, Berlusconi, under influence of Berlusconi, to take over highly unionized factories in Germany to break the will of the people. And it's all about breaking the will of the people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And in a place like Ireland, they don't have to worry about breaking the will of the people. As it stands right now, if you're a two-family earner and you've lost both jobs, you'll take anything for any price, and that's where they are. And the Germans are a little bit different. However, they're looking at a 6% drop in their GDP this year.
Yeah.
And Europe-wide, they're looking at a 4% contraction of the economy. I believe it's going to be closer to 7 or 8% minimum. And this is at a time when money supply is growing. So there should be a growth in the economy with all this investment coming in from the banks into the, you know, money-wise. But it's not. There isn't any. Is this quantitative easing mixed with the unemployment crashing? What we're looking at is a vice being squeezed on these societies. And Europe is not far behind where America is. And anybody who thinks America's not going to, you know, going to be the only one to fail, this European experiment is in very bad shape, Noel. Very bad.
It's probably worse, Darren, than the U.S. because we're still in disbelief here. We still don't believe it.
Well, that's right. Now, the Swiss have a different story. You know, a lot of people are right now taking their wealth out of France. They're taking their wealth out of America, and they're running to Switzerland. And when they get there, they got to set up a household. They got to get a moving company to move their stuff. They got to get a computer guy to come in and set up their internet systems and all that stuff. Because Switzerland is clearly going to be a place people want to run to. But a lot of places in the world that are being run from are in very bad shape. So you're going to be the place that probably sees the damage the last, because you're a country that everybody would want to run to. Now, France, I'm telling you, the horse has left the barn. Ireland, the horse has left the barn. Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Hungary. I mean, come on, Bulgaria, the whole Aegean region, Croatia, a mess. Italy, down the tubes. Spain is the worst of them all. My goodness, they're going to be looking at 25% unemployment rate by early next year. This place is just falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, but, you know, I was just looking down at one of these stories from Yahoo Finance. Consumer sentiment soars as confidence returns. And then on the very next page I'm reading, auto sales plunge to a near 30-year low. I mean, these people, they're insane, but people are only reading the headlines, and they better start reading in between the lines. Darren, the whole thing is a complete mess. We need to redefine the money system. Who are our the people we want to trust? I was reading there over the weekend, Darren, there are usury laws in most of the states. There used to be usury laws in most of the states in the United States until Kissinger, we're talking about, in the early 80s, they convinced them that that wasn't the way to go. That, you know, having a credit card and limiting it to, say, you know, 10% usury was good, instead of, you know, all of a sudden. I had a buddy tell me today, I had lunch today with a guy. He was paying 9% interest on his credit card. He'd had it for 4 years, never missed a payment on the interest, obviously. And he got a bit worried. He was talking to me a couple of months ago, and he got a bit worried, and he called his credit card company in the States, and he said, well, you know, what happens if, and whatever. And the guy said to him on the phone, he said, I don't know, but you sound like you're a bit dodgy. You lose your credit instantly. And he canceled his credit card instantly, Darren.
Right on the spot.
Right on the spot.
And this is after years of paying on time and the rest.
Never missed a payment. Computer transfers, always paid up. Knew exactly. He always knew how much he owed and whatever. He didn't owe this credit card money because he didn't cancel the account. But he had, it was a credit card account he used. He had several. He's now down to two. And I was reading there, which is interesting. In America, for the first time in 50 years, there was more debit card sales than credit card sales. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and you know, basically what a debit card is you put your cash in, and then they charge you money for using your cash. Now, that's like a tax on top of your cash. I mean, you've already paid the state, the local, and the federal tax, and now you're going to pay the bank a tax to have a debit card. And the worst part about all this stuff, I got rid of credit cards. I don't have any, I work off of the idea that if I don't have the money for it, I can't buy it.
That's the debit card, Daryl. The credit card is, you know, spend galore. Debit card is, it debits the money directly out of your account, and if you don't have it, you can't buy it. And I think that's but it's an interesting change, Daryl, that the American people are starting to realize, you know, with the Tea Party, you know, we never really covered that. People are mad about taxes, and they know, you know, Obama can say, you know, I'm not going to raise taxes, but in state-wise, they're going to, New York are hiking up the taxes, California are going to hike up the taxes. If they don't secede from the union, these people really have to jack up the taxes, because they won't be able to pay for, you know, public services.
Well, and the simple fact of the matter is, places like Massachusetts and the East Coast states, every one of these municipalities and every one of these states, they don't print money. They can't print money for their budget. So they have to balance their budget at the end of every year. With tax revenues dropping from foreclosures and people losing their jobs, they have no way of raising revenues. And in fact, their responsibilities have expanded at the same time their revenues have fallen. So they're at a position, they're in a position now, because they have to balance their books like anybody else has to, that they have to cut stuff. And some of the cuts are so incredible that it's amazing. And this is when people are really going to start feeling the pinch. You know, when their house is burning down and the fire department went out of business, or when, you know, potholes are so big that you have to get a roadmap to find your way out of it, and it's lays there for years. Nobody does anything about it. It gets worse and worse. Leaks in their water systems, sewage systems that don't work anymore, bridges that are collapsing, people who, you know, it's just amazing. And what they are spending money on, Noel, they're finding the money for this somehow in Massachusetts. They're expanding their police departments.
ADL-trained police departments.
There you go. I don't know. Maybe they are getting money from Bernie Madoff's buddies or something to pay these new policemen. I don't know where they're getting the money.
Well, you know, Daryl, you know, interesting you bring up policemen. The feds have dropped charges against two pro-Israeli lobbyists that were traitors to America. We're talking about Steve Rosen and Keith, what's his name, Wiseman. These people spied on America and our Zionist leaders up there in Washington said, well, we're not going to prosecute them. No one can prosecute them. They'll probably be on the next plane back to Israel and to their promised land and their little, living off the Palestinians over there, probably take a bit of their land or something, or wherever they're going to be. Daryl, we can't prosecute these people. They run the banking system. They run the media system. They run the pornography. They run the diamonds. They run just about everything.
The drug imports, heroin, cocaine, ecstasy,
slavery,
methamphetamine.
Yeah.
They've got white slavery. These people are just filthy, filthy swine. And that's all they are. I mean, what else are you going to call them?
I could call them a lot of things, but since this is a family program, I can't really expand on that. What we're making our family programs, this isn't about hatred, Daryl. This is about educating the populace about a system that hasn't just shown up in the last 5 years since I've been looking at it, or 6 years, or, you know, there's a couple of years more for you, Daryl. This system has been well in place since 1913. It's very well, very easy to document. The people have the system in for, you know, in 2000, well, if the world ends in 2012, you know, 21st of December, Mayan calendar. But if we don't, if we get on to Christmas in 2013, these Zionist international Jewish bankers are going to be celebrating an official 100 years on the 23rd of December.
Well, that's right. And you know, but one of the things that's happening, though, is people are starting to take a stand. And I want to bring this conversation we're having to this last subject for the evening. And that was the great job you did with your interview of Cynthia McKinney. And now, you know, the importance of that shouldn't be understated, Noel, because it was, you were talking with a sixth-term congresswoman who was – railroaded in two elections. She actually gave a very good accounting of herself on how that happened and why, and she was willing to name the culprits, the Zionist, she called them ZOT, Zionist-controlled, ZOT, I don't know. But anyway, Zog, basically. And here's the interesting thing that happened in that interview that I really applaud you on. You gave her an opportunity to speak her own, make her own presentation, because frankly, Noel, you and I both know, it's her neck that's going out on the chopping block, so she might as well be the person that represents her own ideas and goes as far as she wants to go on it, and she went pretty far, and you had a lot of great questions for her, and I applaud the work you did. It's getting a lot of traction in the blogosphere and in the internet, and even beyond that, you know, do you have any special feelings or any ideas that come, in hindsight after you did that interview?
Darren, listen, I was up for the interview. I think I did a pretty decent job. I read in a blog today the interview was crap because of my Irish accent, you know, but I still have to read anything that contradicted the actual factual points that were taken out by the two of us. Cynthia was great. She was very open. You know, the invitation is out there for a part two. If we can get that going, that would be great. I know quite a few on GCN, Garbage, Can Network, and on RBN want to get her on. I did the work with, you know, we found her and she came on. She named some names. I'd love to get a part two with her, Daryl. I'd love her to get on, yep, on CII and talk to the African audience. I know she'd have a huge fan base there. Listen, she
well, in fact, she was supposed to do a speaking tour in South Africa, and she's well known because, look, you know, the continent of Africa has no real leadership that speaks about these issues, and including the new president, Jacob Zuma. I mean, come on, I don't know where this guy's coming from, but I certainly know he's not outing the criminal Zionists, that's for sure. But she you know, she was courageous in the fact that she was willing to at least broach all these subjects. And like I said to you privately, you know, the last person to do that was Representative Finney.
Well, you know, Darrell, as I said, I was up for it. You know, I'm a nobody in the whole thing of it, and that's fine by me. I asked some honest questions. She answered the question, Darrell. 99% of Congress signed up before they ever got to Congress on,
yep,
pro-Israel, pro-Zionist policies. You know, I talked to my American friends and I said, you know, this is my interview, you know me, listen to it. It's not me talking, it's a 12-year veteran from the Viper Pit talking, and she should know. And then, you know, you go and read and they go and attack her and her father and one of the very first black policemen in Atlanta. You know, this is the sort of thing I've seen them, what they're trying to start with me today, you know, but it doesn't make any difference, Darrell. It wasn't what I said, Darrell. I only asked a few questions. You probably have done a lot better job. I'd love her to get it, you know, on CII.
I don't think that's true. And when we talked before you did the interview, you know, I knew you had the chops to let this woman tell her story. And the whole goal here is not for you or I. You know, if she was on my show and doing a Ralph Nader on me, you know, I'd have to clean her clock. But she wasn't that person. You know, she did pull a few political double speaks on me. And but I mean, hey, 12 years in Washington, you get a couple of verbal ticks in your presentation.
I'm sure she has, Darrell. I got maybe the impression she wants to run again, and she wants to do it differently, and we'll support her, obviously. But listen, she's seen it firsthand. These people are criminal. She's told us, Darrell, we've already lost America. Washington, D.C. being a district, not inside the U.S. Constitution. More people, our buddies in America, should kind of ask more questions. Well, you know, if they're not really in America and they support Israel and they debate Israel and they're pro-Israel, you know, if they were pro-Irish, you'd say you're in Ireland or something. But these are this is Washington D.C. They send up what they believe to be two, you know, the best of two clowns that the Jewish media throw up to them. You know, in New York, vote for this guy or vote for this guy on the left or the on the right or an independent or a Republican or a Democrat. They can't get.
Well, you know, you're right, and here's the problem with the, you know, the way that this is being presented in that district. I mean, there's nobody in Washington D.C. that deserves to stay there, and I mean that completely. And
every
she said maybe four
them,
or five
every,
people.
Every one of them.
I think every one of them. You know, a lot of people have kept coming back to this guy Ron Paul,
please.
And nobody seems to want to answer. Out of the $30 million donation, he only spent six. What the hell happened to the $24 million extra? You know, that's just one question out of hundreds of things that make me scratch my bald spot on my head and say,
I don't know where I've seen one. I've seen one very, very recently, and we're coming on 9 o'clock Central European Time, and the bells have probably ringed out. You'll probably hear them in the recording. Ron Paul has a video up, and apparently he went into a room to do a TV interview, and Cohen, Jewish guy from England, Borat, was there naked or something, or was showing him his Johnson or something, and Ron Paul has been videotaped with Borat naked or, you know, whatever, with his pecker standing out, and Ron Paul said, yeah, well, you know, I didn't know, but, so this is a video, Ron Paul is gone, and this, I saw this from Daryl on a YouTube with Ron Paul saying it in his own words. Ron Paul is a nobody, audit the Fed, waste more time, arrest the criminals. Everyone that works for the Treasury, everyone that works for the Federal Reserve, now they mightn't all be guilty, there might be secretaries and you know, cleaners and, you know, whatever else is there. Easy to pick them out. Put them into solitary confinement for a couple of days and then say, you know, until the fat lady sings, Daryl, until we find out all about all these shenanigans, magui, that have been going on. We have a derivatives market, Daryl, that is in the quadrillions, and we're, you know, Daryl, this is insane. We're talking about insane numbers, quadrillion dollars, and the America has a $14 trillion economy. The world is probably maybe $50 to $70 trillion, and these people have gambled it all in quadrillions. The whole thing is insane, and people say the economy is going to get better when we get back. We cannot get back down to the way we were, where we have a couple of criminal Zionist international Jewish bankers at the very top. I haven't seen any proof that it's anybody else, and they have gambled, Daryl. If you make, say, $70 trillion against, you know, 1.2 quadrillion, that the next 500 years of us will all be slaves, and that's what they're trying to get us into is serfdom. And most people are going to walk in and say, oh, well, you know, I didn't know this. It's time for people to wake up, and not because you lose, you know, 10% of your salary, that you say, oh, you know, we all have to do our own thing and pay, you know, pay our way and whatever. This isn't due to us. This is due to banking greed. They knew all along, Daryl, that all this credit would have to be paid at one stage or another, and they got away with it. Now, these, I only just finished, Daryl, on the stress test, and Cynthia, you know, I'm looking forward to part two with Cynthia, but these stress tests, Daryl, were devised by the bankers. So, I mean,
that's right,
it's insane, Daryl. So, the government that are controlled by the Zionists, they have Zionist bankers, they make up their own tests, and they're going to report it on their own Zionist media. It's insane. The whole thing is insane. We need a complete change around, Daryl. I don't know. I know you talk about the Mad Max scenario. I don't want to go that far. But, I mean, this is insane. I do not want to go back to the heydays of the 90s and 2000 and everything is great when it wasn't great. I'd rather build on for the future generations. There, it won't be for me, but for future generations, that we have a normal base of growth. One place goes up, one place goes down, and we share and the human population. Imagine if we remove money. Imagine the Jews would lose all their power. They'd lose, gold wouldn't be worth anything, and money wouldn't be worth anything, and their 2,000 years of usury would be finished, Daryl.
Well, you know, that's my hope, but I mean, but at the same time, what we've always
Daryl,
talked about, Nolan, this program.
Daryl, look at the bird flu, look at the Mexican flu. It's scare tactics. Now, they would scare us into, oh, we don't need money, and, you know, you need mortgages, and you need this. It, because they control, they have this, you know, their MKUltra programs and their different psyops against us. But this is what's going on. People are afraid, but when people are not afraid, when people get educated, that they shouldn't be afraid, that they know what to look for, things could change quite drastically.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've been hoping for, both of us, is that they gave us enough time to present our case to the world and present our facts and our histories that we've chronicled and our information that we've painstakingly aligned on our website. And the point is that we are getting the time, and it's still very urgent that we get more and more people to read it and look into it.
Love more.
But each day that passes, this is an enlarged audience of people, and more people are willing to suspend their disbelief and start to wrap themselves around the facts. And I'm telling you that every day that passes is another day that these people are in big trouble. And if we can get another few months of time under our belts before the next phase of their nonsense, they may not be able to pull it off at all. And I'm hoping that's the truth. It requires everybody out there to spread the word. You know, somebody asked me today, Noel, about, you know, why don't you advertise on your site and all this other stuff? And I said, and why don't you have links to other sites and all this stuff? And I said, you know, the reason I do it this way, without ads and without links to people, is because simply the story is it needs to be told in a flat format, without anybody coming back and saying, look, you know, you were a buddy of ProThinks, and you were a buddy of this person or that person. You know, you and I have been doing this stuff now together for some months, quite a while. And the information that's coming out of both of our sites is pretty top-notch. And all we can hope for is that more people recognize the quality and recognize the importance of the information and share it. That's the best we can hope for. You know, this guy Alex Jones is growing as well. But you know what? I don't see the quality of his audience as being anything but a bunch of driveling fools.
Well, you know, Daryl, the guy is, you know, he's working 7 days a week. He should take some time off and then come back after a week's holiday and talk about, not the bankers, Zionism, Alex. We're not Jew haters. We don't hate all Jews. The problem is Zionism, and you know he'd probably do a bit better. He doesn't look too good. He's putting on a lot of weight, Daryl. He's behind the mic and he's probably munching hamburgers or whatever he's doing. I don't think he's doing too much running. Not going to be good for his health, and he's lying. He's a shill. Maybe that's what he wants to be, or maybe he thinks he's a real truth teller. He's rents because of a story about Zionism. Very, very suspect. His wife seems to be, you know, from a long line of Russian Jewry. So what? But he seems to be hiding it. He seems to have the right.
Well, the fact that his wife's from Jewry doesn't, like you said, doesn't mean much until you see his actions. When you marry his actions to the fact that she is Jewish,
His wife means nothing. I'll just give you one little thing, Daryl, and I'd just like to plug my site before we end the show, theinfounderground.com, IamTheWitness.com. Daryl, what I would say to you about AJ, you know, you're talking about, it's not, you know, about his wife, and I totally agree with you. How about his coverage of, in his documentary on the USS Liberty, he didn't blame Israel for before the attack. I mean, there isn't anything to be said. Israel attacked and killed 30 Americans, wounded 171. This is a it has never been investigated, and Alex Jones wanted to blame Lyndon Johnson and McNamara.
Or how about him saying the Arabs own Hollywood, or that we've got him on tape saying Israel's not behind the 9/11. The guy is a liar, and the fact that people continue to flock to his bellicose presentations is just kind of a bad indictment of how dumbed down some of the public in America is. But you know what? We just keep telling our story, Noel. We're just going to keep doing it.
Plug it, Darryl. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we've come to the end of our show here. We've gone over the hour, and that's always good because there's more information for everybody. I hope the people have learned a little bit of something here from what we've just done. I'm hoping to hear from you, Noel, that second interview from Cynthia McKinney. I hope it comes off. I got my fingers crossed on that, and I wish you all the luck in the world in putting that together. And you know what? Your site's growing. There's a lot more people coming to the forums there. There's a lot more work going on. So if you've got an honest opinion to share and you're a listener on French Connection, go check out the TIU Radio and TIU Forums, the Information Underground with Ogner and Noel.
I think it's a moment now. I just had to put in a last little plug, and I'll plug it in for our two sites, IamTheWitness.com and the Info Underground. We need people that are smart with audios, with videos, make YouTubes, and take some of Daryl's classics. I mean, we're going back 5 years here, or 5 or 6 years of Daryl audios with different guests. We need people to take, you know, 5, 6, 2. It doesn't make any difference. Make little clips of the words are what important. The guests, what the guest said about criminal Zionism, and help us out here. Make a few YouTubes. Point some links back to Daryl or to myself. We need your help now. It's no good later. We need the help now. Daryl is a donate button. Good to give him a few bob there if you have a few bob. I'm self-sufficient. We're looking for a smart... I'm having people annoying me, Daryl, saying, listen, I signed up for your site and I can't get on. A lot of people sign up with spam names to me, and I said, it looks like a spam. I delete them. And then they say, well, no, I exist. So then I let the accounts go. So you have to inform me if you haven't heard from the site in 24 hours. It's probably me deleting them. I get 50 spammers on a day. I don't want to read any of the silly names. Blah, blah, blah. Lots of names. We're looking for smart people to come and help us now. We do not have the time. We have a 99% Zog control policy. We know in America that's obvious, but in Europe we're not so sure, but it can't be far from it. And we need help now with our message before they shut us out. Daryl, listen, thanks for having me on.
I appreciate your time, Noel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of our show here. Of course, as always, I want you to be mindful that your family is coming under pressure along with yourself, so be kind to them. Try to reach out to family members farther extended than your circle. And if they do the same for you, you'll feel bolstered and stronger by that. And until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please, be well. Bye-bye now.